Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm not sure where any of you guys are, but right here, mail in a mailbag episode, which we're about to get into, is a little bit of a novelty. This is the Weekside Podcast alongside Jenny Vrentis. I'm Connor Orr. I haven't gotten mail in like 3 days. I'm completely snowed in here in the Northeast. There seems to be a protocol here in my state where if you don't shovel out your mailbox exactly to the mailman's liking, he gives a big huffy wave and he blows past and he takes your mail with him. This is happened, and I'm expecting some exciting mail. Our Sports Illustrated Super Bowl commemorative issues are coming in, so very excited about that. So in light of that, very excited to get some mail, and so we decided to dig through our Weekside Pod at Gmail inbox. We asked you guys for questions on Twitter, on Instagram, and you did not disappoint. So Jenny, we're gonna do a little mail today.
Great intro, Connor. I'm really sorry to hear you've been without mail, but yes, fortunately, the Weekside Podcast is here to fill in the gap. We've gotten a lot of great notes from people, some that were really kind and thoughtful. We appreciated one from Silvio in Switzerland, who enjoyed Connor's article during Super Bowl week, sharing a Danish NFL reporter's experience covering Tyreek Hill and how he was inclined to take serious off-the-field misconduct head-on and was surprised at how those issues were covered in America. We also heard from Julia, a lifelong Chiefs fan who used to live in New Mexico and is now back in her hometown of KC. She heeded our pandemic puzzle recommendations. So these pieces of mail are especially nice during the pandemic when we're all feeling a little isolated. It's really great to hear from listeners and that we're all mutually connecting over the things that are helping us get through this tough time. And we also have a bunch of football questions to dive into, Connor.
Yeah. So, Julia, this is especially for you. So, and maybe, Jenny, this will blow your mind as well. I've had a lot of puzzle aficionados in my life during the pandemic, you being one of them. And I found a way, my family in particular, to step up the game for the puzzle lover in your life. My grandmother is a puzzle aficionado as well. And we moved to... It's beyond a puzzle. It's a Parisian cafe that you have to build from scratch. And so you basically get a building down to the studs, and you have to put up the wallpaper. You have to do the electrical work. You have to do the trim. You have to paint the walls, and you get all these little hand tools. And so it is like you have to put up the lace on the curtains and cut it all from raw material. And so that is puzzle to the extreme. If you would
wow.
like a link to that, please drop us a note, and I will send you a link to that because I've heard from a lot of puzzle people wondering what's next, and I can tell you, Julia, that this is the future of puzzles.
That is impressive, Connor. Well, the best puzzle I got this year was from Connor. It was a puzzle with the print of the Weekside Podcast header logo that was made by Shelby's awesome friend, a graphic designer. So that was the best puzzle that I have. I was saving it until after the season to assemble, so this will be a weekend activity in the coming weeks for me.
Nice. Yeah, very excited. All right, so let's jump in. What do we got?
All right. Question one from our mailbag is a really good one. Also from a regular listener and corresponder, Chase from Buffalo. Chase writes, using your Married at First Sight fandom, which new quarterback and coach combo will stay married or get a divorce? Example, Sean McVay and Matt Stafford, Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. Also, since Chase wrote in, we have Carson Wentz and Frank Reich. First of all, we just want to say, Chase, you are truly a loyal listener by mentioning Married at First Sight. This is remarkable recall, and we feel touched that you have taken note of our interests and have worked them into a question. I mean, that honestly brings me such joy.
It does. That touches my heart. Thank you, Chase. I think this is a great question. I'm like behind on this current season of Married at First Sight. I've caught glimpses of the drama throughout some of the preview commercials. This is the first year that there's a divorced person on Married at First Sight. So there's a lot of intrigue there to climb into, which I'm sure we'll get to in later episodes. But I would say that I'm going to do a little bit of a wild card here, since you mentioned Carson Wentz and Frank Reich, and I'm going to say that is the pair that gets divorced the soonest, and here is why. Carson Wentz has that sort of poison pill built into his contract in the terms of the trade, right? So the Colts' second-round pick that they're sending to Philly becomes a first-round pick if he plays 75% or more of the snaps, or 70% or more of the snaps, and the Colts make the playoffs. If for some reason Indianapolis gets off to a bad start, and maybe they re-sign Jacoby Brissett, maybe they have somebody else, they draft somebody else that they have that they like, I think that they're going to be much more inclined to pull the trigger, because imagine if you're 2-4 or 2-5, you're looking at that pick, and that's all of a sudden a top 10 pick, and you're not going to give that to Philadelphia, as is. And so I think that you're going to work to change that. So I think that there's just some complicating factors for Carson Wentz at play, and we just don't know if he's going to be salvaged. So I think there's a lot of complications there.
That's a really smart analysis, Connor, and that shows how the contracts and the money can affect some of this decision-making. I would say I have some confidence in Wentz and Frank Reich. Despite that, if Wentz can be rehabilitated in Indianapolis, he and Frank Reich have a strong connection from their days in Philly. Wentz played his best season with Frank Reich as the offensive coordinator the year, of course, they won the Super Bowl before Wentz tore his ACL. He was having an MVP caliber season. And I think he really just needs a fresh start. You know, there's a psychological factor here. Gary and I talked a little bit about this on the Monday morning podcast, but Foles comes in, wins the Super Bowl. Wentz has some injuries. He misses another playoff opportunity. And then they draft Jalen Hurts. And ultimately, those things just kind of built up over time. But I think a fresh start, we could really see the player that we once saw earlier in his career. And so I actually have high hopes for that partnership, as do I with Sean McVay and Matt Stafford. But I will say that Dan Campbell and Jared Goff will get a divorce. I think from the Lions' perspective, they had to take the deal. You know, they wouldn't have picked Goff, I don't believe, but the Rams were willing to give away so much to get Stafford that it was a good deal for the Lions. And I think they'll try to make it work with Goff, but I don't think he's the long-term answer there.
Yeah, I agree with you there too. It's one of those things that's hard. I mean, we talk all the time about how these coaches kind of consider themselves leaders of men, and you know, I'm going to come in and I'm going to take the program and I'm going to make you a better person and a better player. And you know, the quarterbacks were sort of that last bastion of, you know, well, no matter what, we're going to make it work with this guy. And Goff is just the latest example. Wentz, where you just, you know, throw everything out and try again if it's not working, instead of maybe trying to meet somebody at eye level and understand where they're coming from and try to fix things that way. And I'm not saying that there's a total breakdown of that on the Rams side or the Eagles side, but, you know, we just see this time and time again, so much talent ends up just getting kind of tossed out the window. So hoping any of these guys can turn it around where they are, you know?
And for those who have watched Married at First Sight, there's always that tension before the decision is made. Will one partner want to stay while the other one wants to go? So that adds a lot of tension. And we've seen that a lot with quarterback team partnerships this year. You know, the Lions and Stafford agreed to a mutual parting of the ways, but Watson wants out of Houston and the Texans aren't listening to trade offers for him. So really, it helps everybody when both the quarterback and the team, or both partners in a marriage on the reality show, are on the same page, Connor. It's really painful when they're not.
It is. You know what? I think that's why, you know, my wife and I decided to spike it this season. And I don't know if you felt the same way, but you were on board with me the whole way last season, right down to the bitter end. And there's not enough love on that show. You know, it's it's creeping more towards reality show drama, right? And they're trying to set you up for those spicy moments, which maybe a lot of people crave. But I like seeing the organic development of actual love. Wasn't getting enough of it on that show.
So what you're saying, Connor, is you've started to realize that two strangers forced together on a reality show might not be the formula for true love.
I do love, you make a good point. And I do love, it was one of the women last year that was just like, she kept saying over and over again, like, I'm just not ready for this. You know, I'm not ready to give my heart to a stranger. And it's like, well, you went on Married at First Sight, so maybe the show's name could have been somewhat of an indicator of what's going to happen here.
Maybe people aren't going on the show for true love either.
Shocking.
Another revelation.
Killing me.
All right, Connor. Let's move on to question number two. We've got a lot of quarterback questions because really this is the news of the month.
Okay, this is a great question from, let me just make sure I have the name right here. Well, Twitter user Crime Dog. So thank you, Crime Dog.
All right.
Hey, Connor. Love the show. Question for the mailbag. Is Jarrett Stidham a total zero loss already? As a Pats lifer, I'd love to see them get Ryan Fitzpatrick, draft defense early, see what Jarrett Stidham's got, and Belichick rebuild using that 03-04 formula. Is that doable? Thank you. Thanks for the question, Crime Dog, and thank you for keeping our streets safe. So I would say that, I don't know about you, Jenny, but I love the Ryan Fitzpatrick plan. I had, in one of my offseason previews, had projected him either to go to Carolina or New England. I thought that the Patriots would be a great place for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that would complete his sweep, I think, of every single team in the AFC.
AFC East. Yeah, that's so impressive.
That would be fantastic. I would love that. There's actually nothing more that I would love than that. And see if he can kind of pump up Stidham a little bit and get him out there. But I don't know. I would imagine, I would be surprised if Belichick, understanding the market as well as he does, he has cap space in a time when not a lot of other people have cap space. I think he knows that there's an opportunity to do something here. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, might come loose. Jacoby Brissett's a free agent. All that leads me to believe that I think they're going to look outside, and I think they're rebuilding for right now. And I think that they need to go into the season with a quarterback that they feel can win them, you know, 10 or 11 games.
Yeah, and as we were talking about this question before the show, Connor, you mentioned, okay, so he's a middle round pick. You know, it's kind of one of those picks where, well, they work out or they don't. It's not a huge risk either way. And obviously, Stidham, there were times last season where had they had confidence in Stidham, they could have put him in. They could have moved on from Cam to Stidham, and they didn't last season. So I don't think it would be their plan going into this season, but I see, like Connor, kind of rooting for the Ryan Fitzpatrick AFC East sweep. So that part of the formula that Crime Dog has suggested, I really do like.
Yeah, I think that anywhere where you're going to draft a rookie quarterback, having a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, having a guy like Tyrod Taylor, having a guy like Alex Smith, you know, I'm trying to think of some of these players who have been consummate professionals, you know, have that work ethic, you know, especially I remember Tyrod Taylor on Hard Knocks really showing, you know, Baker Mayfield how to be a pro, how to get to work every day. Just and then his work with Justin Herbert really by extension, I think, really got Justin Herbert ready too. So any of those guys, you know, I think if you're planning on building from the ground up and you're getting a rookie quarterback, one of those guys is essential. So maybe Bill Belichick drafts. I mean, Mac Jones is a guy that's out there, and Bill Belichick is going to have better information on Mac Jones because of his relationship with Nick Saban than anybody else in the draft. And so, you know, maybe that's one of those things where we look and we see that coming down the pike. Who knows? But yeah, great question.
Yeah, I think this is the year the Patriots really have to figure it out at the quarterback position. I mean, last year was the first year after Brady. It became an opt-out year where they had a lot of high-profile impact players opt out, and it just became kind of a season that was just a connector from one era to the next, right? Not a season that we'll remember. And so now, moving ahead to 2021, they've got to look at what's out there and figure out a plan. And I can't imagine that Jarrett Stidham would be that plan.
Yeah. All right. What do we got for the next mailbag question?
Question number three comes from Michael in Hamilton, Ontario, who made sure that we got his question, which I really appreciate. He sent it two different ways, and Michael, we appreciate the persistence.
That's very journalistic of you, Michael. I got, during the Super Bowl, I creeped out somebody that I needed to talk to for a story because I hit both Instagrams, Twitter, email, and text, and that very much, you know, but that's, you got to do what you got to do.
Did it work out?
It did. I'm not sure if it's going to be a lifelong friendship, you know, after that, but, you know what, I think Michael, hopefully will be a lifelong listener because we appreciate the effort.
Yes, we are very grateful to Michael. All right. This is a very good question also. Do you think the Stafford deal has changed the dynamics of the Watson trade? Is it going to be important to the Texans that they receive a quarterback back in the trade? So I think the most likely exchange would be with a team that sends a quarterback back because it offsets the amount of compensation they have to give up, right? If you give the Texans someone that they can start at quarterback, say a Sam Darnold or a Teddy Bridgewater, Kirk Cousins, then that becomes part of the exchange packet and it makes the package and it makes the cost that you're giving up in draft picks a little bit more palatable.
That's a great point. And it's interesting now to kind of see who and what is available. You know, I guess the latest round of reporter sources close to Watson that we've seen out there have mentioned the 49ers. And so, okay, the 49ers have Jimmy Garoppolo, who was drafted by Nick Caserio, who's now in Houston. Is that significant in any way, shape, or form? The Jets were a team that had a lot of draft capital. They have Sam Darnold. They're reportedly now listening to offers for Sam Darnold, or if not listening, making it very clear that they're evaluating draft prospects along with their evaluation of Sam Darnold. And so I think it's really interesting, and I totally agree that I don't think this Texans team right now, as presently constructed, plans on going into next season starting a rookie quarterback. I don't think that that's part of their plan. I totally agree with you. I think that they need somebody that they can stick under center to make this thing look presentable right off the bat. And it'll be interesting to see where that goes. Does having Josh McCown there help anybody at all? I mean, you know, he's friends with a lot of quarterbacks in the league. He mentored Sam Darnold. Does that factor in at all? But yeah, no, I don't think that there's any way that they can pull this off unless they get a quality veteran starter in return.
Yeah, and off of my poor initial list, I forgot Jimmy Garoppolo. I also forgot Tua Tagovailoa if in an exchange with Miami. And of course, it's a different situation than the Stafford deal with the Rams-Lions deal, because in that case, the Lions were essentially taking Goff's contract off the Rams' hands. But in this case, it just makes a lot of sense for there to be a quarterback exchange, a quarterback plus some draft picks for Deshaun Watson, or some other players thrown in as well.
I think that in general, when Stafford was traded, I mean, you and I both talked about this. Part one of that question, did the Stafford deal change the dynamics of the Watson trade? I think we're both in agreement that that deal, I think you have to consider that in a vacuum for this offseason. Like, you know, basically the Rams needed desperately to get rid of Jared Goff's contract, and that's why a lot of these picks that we saw changing hands went the way that they went. And I think that you have to negate that in terms of compensation, and you're basically erasing the board when it comes to the Watson trade. That's what I would say too.
Yeah, right. Agree. Very well said. Better said than I did, Connor, as usual.
All right, let's go to our next one from Reese in Melbourne, Australia. Jeez, Reese, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning there. Hopefully, you're not listening right now, but when you wake up and go about your day tomorrow, he wrote that in saying that he somehow fell in love with the NFL in Australia, and NFL podcasts like The Weak Side have helped him grow his knowledge of the game. Wow, thank you very much, Reese. Can't wait to be able to travel to the U.S. again once the virus is behind us. My number one bucket list challenge is to see every NFL team play, and I'm currently stuck at 25 out of 32. That's impressive, though, for living in Melbourne. Wow.
Yes.
Well, we followed up with Reese and asked him which 7 is he missing. So he's missing Packers, Lions, Bills, Falcons, Jets, Raiders, and Bears. A mix of good and not so good. He says he definitely wants to get to Lambeau. I agree. You have to go there. He asked us best experience so
far. Oh, no, he said best experience. Yes. Yeah.
That his best experience so far was Arrowhead. The noise was mind-blowing. I agree. And so, Jenny, I'll ask you, which stadium has left a mark on you over your travels over the years? Have you seen, because neither of us have seen Vegas yet, have been there. Have you been to every other stadium? I'm trying to think. I think I've missed maybe, I think Tampa Bay and Houston are the two that I'm missing. Those are the two Super Bowls that I missed. Yeah.
I haven't seen, Vegas and SoFi Stadium.
Right.
Being new. I think I've been to most of the other ones, but, Arrowhead, as our friend Reese mentions, is a great atmosphere. Reese, you have to get to Lambeau, as you also said, and the Bills experience is a memorable one. I would say the first time, though, that I was wowed by an NFL stadium experience, so this left a mark on me because I went to college at Penn State. So the stadium, Beaver Stadium, holds, I forget the exact capacity at this point, around 106,000, right? So going from a college game day experience, one of the largest stadiums in the country, to NFL experience, you know, we were covering Giants and Jets games at the Meadowlands, Connor. It's not a very impressive experience from the stadium atmosphere, certainly not compared to something like Beaver Stadium. So the first time I really felt that energy was at watching the Jets play at the Steelers at Heinz Field, and they play Renegade, you know, and the stadium is, you can feel it moving up and down and everyone's really into it. So that was the first NFL experience that I really felt that same college vibe.
I would say that the ones that left, I'll give like one offbeat answer and then I'll give a real answer, but the ones that left the biggest impact on me, seeing a game in London, at Wembley was incredible. Just the energy there and the excitement and the whole vibe there was just that felt like dreamlike almost to be out there. That was a really cool experience just because of the appreciation and the difference in the fandom. I think that there's more of a genuine interest and appreciation and less of a let me see how drunk I can get and the worst thing that I can get away with saying out loud without getting kicked out sort of vibe to it. And so I think that there I really liked that aspect of it. I would say, you know, Lambeau is hard to beat. The surrounding area is beautiful. You know, I went to back when the Giants were in the playoffs going to the Super Bowl. I was working for the Star Ledger, and they assigned me to just walk around Lambeau and go to all these little houses. It's in the middle of a neighborhood, basically. And walked a block down from the stadium to this old woman's house who put up funny sayings every week on a scoreboard outside of her house. And she took me in, and she gave me a bag of didn't know who I was, didn't know I was coming, did the interview, gave me a bag of caramels, gave me a bag of cheese, and then the next day after the game, it snowed, and she called me, and she said that her daughter wasn't home, and that if my flight got canceled, I could sleep at her house.
Wow.
This is like a person that I had just met, a sweet old lady that lived like a block from there. Like, that's the kind of place that you're landing if you go to Lambeau. It's a very, like, incredible... Yeah. Like home away from home kind of feel.
Great story, Connor. So I've been mentally going through my mind as we've been talking, and I think the one stadium that I haven't been to, aside from the two that opened this year, is I haven't been to a game in Jacksonville Stadium. I've been to a practice. We were there together, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
They were practicing during training camp on the fields outside the stadium. We parked at the stadium. I remember we frantically searched for a missing key fob that we had like accidentally locked in the trunk. But somehow, by the way, listeners, if you ever lock key fob in the trunk, you can open the trunk, I think. I don't know. There was some hack where the trunk was able to open and the key fob was in the trunk and we were saved. But in any event, that was the only time I've been to Jacksonville. So I have not been to a game there.
You know, I was at Tim Tebow's return to Florida, to Jacksonville,
yes,
with the Jets.
Right.
So that
that's
was a
right.
good that was a good Jaguars game. I like it down there. I like it a lot. That was a good first stop for our training camp tour too. Even though I almost stalled the or lost the entire thing by locking our key fob in the trunk.
No, so. it was a mutual effort there. So fortunately, we made it out and all was good. So, but yes, Reese, we are very impressed at your list of teams that you've seen live, and we hope that the world is somewhat back to normal sometime soon, so you can resume your list.
Yes.
All right, our last mailbag for today is from Rob. I do not think Rob gave his location, but he is providing two book recommendations. Also a loyal listener, because Connor, again, here he is listening to us, hearing our interests. This is really heartwarming. Okay. Wow. I enjoy your podcast and will continue to listen, even though I will have mild depression until next September when there is a new season. I recall you are both interested in John Kennedy's assassination. One of the best novels ever, and a plausible explanation is The Tears of Autumn by Charles McCary. It is also a terrific audiobook. And especially for Connor, Away with Words. Now that's spelled away, like one word, Away with Words. I mean, this is a great pun already. An irreverent tour through the world of pun competitions by Joe Berkowitz. Please keep up with the good work. I appreciate your knowledge, insights, and humor. Also very nice. Okay, so I Googled Away with Words, Connor, because, you know, you're the pun master. So there's like, there are these pun competitions around the world. You should enter.
See, here's what's so interesting. I had sort of a 180 moment. Did you ever read Amelia Bedelia when you were a kid?
Yes.
So Amelia Bedelia is essentially a kid's introduction to puns. Like every... all it's just a pun after pun after pun after pun after pun. And I was reading Amelia Bedelia to someone else, not for pleasure, the other day, and it was just, I got hit with pun after pun after pun, and I was like, this is exhausting, and what am I putting my listeners through,
you know? No, this is a part of the show, Connor. We are all invested.
Good. Okay. All right. That said, I love the idea of a pun competition. I think that, like, there was a couple years ago where there was like the dad/mom joke thing on YouTube that was like a big fad, and I think I would like this too. I'm a big fan of a good old fashioned pun.
There's something called the Punderdome 3000 in Brooklyn. I mean, this was within driving distance, Connor. Whenever there are conventions again or in person competitions, I think we got to go. We could record a podcast from the Punderdome 3000.
I'm thinking like it's going to be a big summer concert is on my list. Maybe to go to a nice dinner and then a pun competition. That would round up my top three.
Sounds perfect to me.
Yeah, that's great. What a bunch of great mail we got today.
I'm
thrilled. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of perfect, you know, that was a perfect five questions. We had some football ones, hit on some of the news of the week. We had obviously the Wentz trade to Indianapolis. Got that. Got some bigger picture questions. Got some questions specific to us and our interests.
Listeners, if you would like to write our topics every week, you can email me. Seriously, you guys are more on top of it than we are. This is great.
It's going to be interesting to see how all these quarterback moves shake out, Connor. I feel like that's going to be the main topic of our podcast for the next several weeks to come.
I was blown away. I didn't realize, and I think I read it somewhere else, but ESPN's Adam Schefter had predicted, he said, let's set the over-under at 18 quarterbacks of the 32 changing hands this offseason, and I'll take the over. That's stunning to me.
That is pretty stunning.
And just imagine where we could be in a week. I mean, you know, we didn't get into it too much today, but all of a sudden, there's doubt lingering that Ben Roethlisberger might be back in Pittsburgh, and how does that affect things? And again, I mean, it's just totally shocking. Last week, I did one spin around the QB carousel, and within 48 seconds of that publishing, it all has been rendered completely impossible because of like all the moves that have been made so far. But that I think is fascinating to me. Is like everybody's in the hunt. You know, the Panthers especially are this team that we thought might like Teddy Bridgewater, and now all of a sudden are emerging as this lion on the scene trying to get involved. And I'm just fascinated by everything.
It just shows how quickly things change. You know, a year ago, we wouldn't have thought that Goff and Stafford would be switching places. We wouldn't have thought that Deshaun Watson would be potentially on his way out of Houston. Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. I mean, there were some signs after the Super Bowl loss, of course. So that's been percolating for a while. But really has been a shift from teams, you know, getting a quarterback a couple of years ago to now a lot of teams moving on from them. Maybe they weren't the right match. Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, you mentioned Bridgewater. So a lot of moving parts that we're going to have to see how they shake out. But that would be pretty remarkable if more than half the league had a different starting quarterback this season.
I wonder if that happens. Does every coach from here on out avoid ever even saying that that's my guy? You know what I mean? Like, now everybody, now that Wentz is gone, everybody's digging up everything. You know, Doug Peterson, he's our guy. Mm-hmm. You know, the Eagles, Wentz is our guy. And, you know, they did that with the Cardinals and Rosen. Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
And, like, I actually remember that when we knew they were going to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And I was worried that the Cardinals were going to delete all their tweets, their froggy tweets during the combine season where they were like, yeah, trade Josh Rosen? Okay, he's our guy, you know? And I remember saving them all to my desktop so I could just tweet them off in succession one after the other, which I did as soon as they drafted Kyler Murray because I'm petty. And I wonder if teams will, like, they'll be even squirrelier about this now because coaches are oddly squirrely about it as it is. Like, Les Snead is the master of this. Like, you could tell he, like, either should have gone to law school or if he ever has the desire to, would do well there. It's always like, yes, he's our quarterback right now. A couple of years ago, we will never delete Sam Bradford. We can't just delete Sam Bradford. That was the quote. Like, some of these guys, they're amazing at it, and I wonder how much more, like, neurotic they're going to be about committing to these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, we had the Aaron Rodgers line, my future is a beautiful mystery, which Snead then co-opted. I mean, that's now in the rotation for anyone to seize upon. We also heard Kevin Colbert leaving the door open on Roethlisberger's future with the team. So I agree, Connor, especially in this day and age where people can screenshot tweets. I mean, I think we had one of the Cardinals Josh Rosen tweets saved between us, and I feel like I made it into a meme that I only sent to you.
You maybe.
I don't think it went public. I'm not much on Twitter, so I think I just sent it to you. But we definitely were prepared. We were at the ready.
That was, yeah, I was fired up about that. And who knew? I mean, as we revealed exclusively last week on the Weekside podcast, you know, the Cardinals were tweeting them to fake followers anyway. So, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, doesn't even make a sound.
Truly a great nugget. Hopefully we will have a lot more nuggets this off season. But in the meantime, thank you, readers, for getting us through a relatively slowish week of the NFL off season. We are grateful for you listening and writing in and always appreciate hearing from you at weeksidepod@gmail.com. The Weekside Podcast is me, Jenny Rentis, and Connor Orr. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. Mark Moravik is the emeritus executive director of the MMQB. Our theme music was written and composed by singer-songwriter Ryan Harris Brown, whose latest album, Stranded in the Present Tense, is available now on all major streaming services. Keep up with the Weekside Podcast by subscribing to our new feed, and while you're there, leave a rating and review. It really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Radio.com, Stitcher, or wherever else you find your podcasts.